Welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, Gabe, Giannis, and I, we are joined with none other than Miranda Alcaraz. Now, a lot of you guys might know her as the co-founder of Street Park, and she's done incredible things to develop an online community of tons of people who train out of their garages. But I've known her for, man, I think we said this, 16 years, Gabe, I think it was, from teaching seminars for CrossFit, from being on a team. She was coaching at our gym, and we've just been friends, teammates, and really I've looked up to her as a, you know, leader in the fitness space for so long, and I always get fired up when I could have a conversation.
Dude, Miranda's a total badass. You know, she's a CEO and founder of a really successful fitness company that I think believes a lot of the same things that we believe at Train Hard. So that's really cool. It's also worth noting that since we turned this into the Jason Khalifa podcast, she's the first woman we've had as a guest on the podcast. And again, we haven't done this intentionally. I just think that a lot of the people we've gravitated towards have been men. I'm looking forward to having more women on the podcast, but I think no more like appropriate first woman to have. It was an awesome episode, and I know you guys are going to enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, let's get right into it. If, as usual, you get, you know, enjoyment out of it, if you get some type of value, simple ask, rate it, review it, and share it with a friend. But let's dive right in.
So I was on a drive in 2020 and randomly like saw a for sale sign on that piece of land. And I was like, you can't find 2.5 acres in Camas on a hillside. Like, what is this? How is this for sale? And I guess it had gone up like the day before. And we purchased it.
That's it. You just knew. It just called you.
And literally, we were remodeling our house at the time.
Oh, really? Wait, is that the one we always see? So in videos and stuff, I actually had this as one of your questions. Cause it's like, I was thinking about, I was like, dude, it's hard when you have like, you know, you work with a spouse, your family's around, then you have employees. Like, is it actually what I think it is, where a lot of the times, I know you have an office now for street parking, but a lot of people like were coming to your house for a long time, right? And like, was that the house you were remodeling? Or was it a different one?
It was that one. So when we moved to this office, I want to say like, it's been like a year and a half or two years, maybe. I don't know. It's all kind of a blur. But before that, we filmed everything at our house. All the demos, all the like promotional stuff, all the photo shoots, everything was at our house.
What was that like having like a family? Like, how did you separate? Because a lot of people have a tough time separating work from their family life and whatnot. Literally, you were like literally in the same exact space. Like, I imagine that had to have some difficulty to it.
I would say like, well, there's a couple layers to answer that question. When Julian and I moved in together, my idea of what personal space is not what his idea of personal, like I would walk down, and this was before we had people filming and stuff all the time. Cause when we started street parking, it was just me and him and we were filming randomly on our phones or whatever. But like, I would walk downstairs in the morning at 7 a.m. I'm pregnant with Knox, and his brother would just like be in our kitchen, you know, like, and there was just constant, like, I don't know if it's like a Mexican thing or like, from what I understand, it's like Mexicans will just show up to your house and unannounced.
His mom's like, also with you, right?
His mom lived with us when we moved in together. His mom and I had only met her a few times. And so she would show up with random people, and his brother or like random cousins, or I don't even know if they're cousins, but they call them cousins, would show up. And so right away in our relationship, that was wild. And so you add in on top of it, yeah, when we moved here and we started hiring people, people were just, they came over to work out every single day, which is one thing because I'm like doing it with them, but then all the filming. So I would be like with a brand new baby when Banner was born, like breastfeeding, and they had to come through our house to get into the garage. Can you imagine, Ashley?
No, I wouldn't.
You were like, we got to be quiet.
No, I couldn't, you know, no, I could not imagine that. I could not imagine. I mean, we used to have people come over to the house. I mean, including you, you'd come over into the garage, but that would be different. Like you just kind of come over, people would train in the garage and it would be like low key, but you guys had like a full like system and all these people.
I mean, I was like throwing up in your front yard at like 7:30 a.m.
Dude, that's definitely like a very Latino thing. Like 100%. I can testify to the fact that like just zero boundaries and like a level of closeness most people don't understand with family and extended family is like a very real thing.
Hmm. Well, like people will come over and he'll say, that's my cousin. I'll be like, well, what do you mean? And he'll be like, I think it's my mom's brother's cousin. And I'm like, that's not your cousin. Like, you're related to them somehow, but that's not your cousin.
Everyone's a cousin. My mom is one of 10. My dad is one of 7.
Oh my gosh.
And last year we went back to Ecuador for the first time, me and my wife. So my wife was meeting everyone for the first time. And literally the first night we were there, there was like a central, like at one of my aunt's house that just everyone came to. And I like, yeah, they're all my cousins, but like, it was literally like 40 people and, you know, trying to introduce everyone. So anyway, it's funny you bring that up because it's very funny.
I mean, I have 5 siblings, but they would never just roll up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They call ahead.
Yeah.
Well, back to the house. So I know I've kind of shifted gears as a garage, but like the one that you're building now, I didn't know this. So like you and I, we've known each other for a really long time. We've taught seminars all over. We've trained together so many times. I didn't know that you had a background or even a desire, in design work at all.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Because First of all, what I see on the pictures is beautiful.
I was just doing the math. We've known each other for, it'll be 16 years.
Is that it?
Like crazy? Because we met in 2008.
Hey, you know, we're just trying to set records
so
here.
We are. So I went to school for interior design. That's what I went to school, like a trade school, like a business school for. And I was working in it. Well, I was teaching spin classes while I was in school and like aerobics classes. And when I got out of school, I started working at a like really high-end furniture store, but I was only like 20, 21 years old. And, the people that I've said this and it's not true across the board, but for me, I was like, the people that can afford a designer are not like my people. Like it was really rich, like stuffy, like people. And when I was at the gym and I was coaching, I felt more me, I felt more in my element. So what I actually wanted to do with it and never pursued, because I just fell in love with fitness also, was I wanted to be like a set designer or like just do like you know how like at Disneyland when they do a new ride, it'll be like all the like details of the ride and they're super detailed about it and it's really cool. Or when they do like the storefronts or like the window displays, like I loved that kind of stuff. I just fell in love with fitness and got more and more and more into it and started doing that more. And the only design stuff I've done is like my own houses.
Well, I think it looks incredible. I can't wait to watch it. And I think the post you did online, I thought was really powerful. I definitely wanted to bring up in a minute the newsletter that you put out about like your relationship with Instagram. I thought it was just so well done. I thought it was great. But you put a post out online on social media about your house. And that's where I didn't know that you had that design background. But I resonated with that heavily because I think the reason why, or you shared this, you didn't want to share this journey because you didn't want people to be, you didn't want them to feel jealousy or whatever, that you were holding back a piece of something you're really passionate about because you were worried about what other people thought. And then you just said, screw it. I'm just going to put it out. I'm gonna let people know I'm doing this. And how was the feedback from that? Because like, as far as I'm concerned, from my perspective, like people want to know what's going on in your life. And that's a huge milestone. You've worked your ass off to be able to deserve that.
Yeah, it's weird, right? And I think like you've dealt with this and you've felt this like as our friendship, I've seen it with you. But like, I actually recorded a podcast for the street parking community just the other day, like 2 days ago, where I was talking about this tendency that we have as humans when someone fails or something goes poorly for somebody. They're like, oh, like that person, they didn't train hard enough or they didn't take it seriously enough. Like we put that failure all on the person. And then when someone succeeds, as humans, we have this tendency to say like, oh, well, they're so lucky. So like when we fail, it's 100%, or when somebody else fails, it's on them. But when they succeed, it's because they had some sort of advantage that you don't have. And we have a tendency to like resent that. Where on the flip side, I feel like as humans, when we succeed, we have a tendency to be like, look what I did. Like I did amazing. And then when we fail, we have a tendency to be like, well, it's not my fault because X, Y, Z. And it's just like, I don't know if it's like the human condition, if it's our culture or whatever, but it's very interesting how it's flip-flopped for a lot of people. And so, I mean, you've seen the comments that I've gotten about even just my fitness or my physique or whatever throughout the course of our friendship, where it's all, oh, all she cares about is her body, or she's just trying to show off, or look, she has these genetics or this or that. And so I've seen that kind of like negative stuff when you're successful in something, how people want to like take it away from you or act like you're trying to show off or whatever. And so the house, it's big and it's like beautiful and, you know, it's a custom home. And so I just was like, I don't want people to take it the wrong way. Like, I'm like, look at me or look at this amazing thing that I have that you don't have. And I've had people react that way with the dumbest stuff. An example that I give all the time, and this is like how crazy social media can make you, but I did a post about how my kids have never had fast food and how my kids will ask for fresh fruit. And the example that I gave was that my 2-year-old requested fresh mango. And I got hundreds of comments and people were like, this is such white privilege. And like, this is like a rich people thing. And like, how dare you like say, you know, talk down to me because I take my kids to have fast food. And I was like, hey, whoa, like this post is about how my kids have never had fast food. Like, I'm not out here giving advice. I'm just sharing my reality. And it's just people insert themselves into whenever you're talking about your life. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of that.
I wrote something on Threads the other day to my 5 followers, and it was, and I don't know if anyone else has said this before. Maybe they have. Most of the stuff I say is from podcasts I hear, but you know, everyone always says that comparison's the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. But what I say is comparison's the thief of joy, but only if you allow it to be. And I think that, you know, a lot of people end up, you know, seeing the person that's leaner than them, that has the bigger house than them, whatever. And they let that become the thing that just tells them that, like, why don't I have that? And then the defense mechanism for that is like, oh, must be nice, right? Like, there's so much must be nice on the internet. Must be nice that you have the genetics. Must be nice that you fell into, you know, this company that you founded that's now super successful. Like, I could have had a great idea like that. But I think that there's a flip way to look at it where, you know, like, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. Everyone's dealing with something. Like, what you're dealing with might not be what I'm dealing with, but we're all dealing with something. Like, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, like, there's an aspect of that too, that I think if more people looked at stuff that way, I think we'd all be in a better place. But man, it's such a shame. And I remember that post about the kids and the food. And actually, one of the things, so we have a 1-year-old and a second one on the way, coming in very, very fast. Wow. And I remember the post that you posted about just not keeping like also just like treats and stuff in the house. Like, that's how you guys handle it. Like, it's not like they don't eat these foods. It's just, you know, we don't keep it in the house. Like, if we go out, we have ice cream, but it's not something that they can just go to the fridge and ask for. And we've actually adopted that, or at least to this point, with kind of how we deal with nutrition and our kids. So I appreciate a lot of the stuff that you put out. And I know a lot of other people do. And it's also funny how you remember the negative comments more than something.
Oh, and I'm the worst at that. I'll have 100 positive and the 1 negative, I'll be like, everyone hates me, you know? So,
dude, I think you and I are cut from the same cloth, Miranda, because like, I am bad about that too. It's like a dagger to my heart. And I've gotten better about it. I know you have as well. But like, you get so wrapped up as like part of your identity with what these people that are complete strangers think of you. And it's just like, I've really had to compartmentalize it, because if you're going to put yourself out there and share and inspire and whatever, there's going to be people that are going to get pissed off about it. And it just is what it is. But yeah, it's
you know,
hard,
I
man.
I think it is though, Jason, like for me and you that I see that we are similar in our personality is like, we genuinely want to help people and we genuinely just want to be liked, not even like for like the ego boost, but like, I'm just trying to be a good, like nice person. Like, you know what I mean? And when people take it wrong, you feel bad. Like, you feel like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, or and I know both of us are that way, where we've also known people like Barber, for example, where he loves to piss people off. Like, it would make him, nothing would make him happier than, you know, and some people, they like that kind of like conflict, but both of us have always been, hey, I'm just like, I didn't mean to like upset you.
Yeah. That's for sure. But Gabe's been putting me in check for the last couple of years.
Jason sees conflict and runs the other way.
Oh yeah. And then like to take it back to the house post, and this applies to other stuff that we've been posting recently too. I think I joined Instagram in 2013. So we're like in our 11th season of Instagram over here. I now think about what's my motivation behind posting this. Like, what am I looking for? Why do I feel so strongly about wanting to post this? And so whether it's like me working out or me talking about my food or me posting our house, it's like, for example, the other day Julian was filming me and I was working out and I just looked super jacked. And I knew that I wanted to post the video just because I looked good in it. And I was like, well, that's not a good reason. But in the past, like that was a reason a lot of the times, you know, where now I try to like, what am I, because I don't want to get my self-esteem from social media anymore. So I didn't post that video because that was the only reason that I wanted to put it up. And then with our house, it's like, well, why do you want to share it? And for me, you know, I thought about it for a long time and it's like, because I've worked really hard on the design of this house. And like, I've put a lot of time and effort and energy into the details. And I'm super excited to see how it turns out. And I just want to share it because it's something that I'm passionate about. So we've been trying to look at what's our intention more lately.
So that's a really great place. I'd love to dive a little bit deeper. And for the record, we started this podcast a little bit, like a few minutes late because Miranda was heading over to the new house to check out the grout color. So I just want to attest to the fact that like you do care that much that you left the office to go make sure the color of the grout was appropriate. So I could see why you'd want to share that because it's something you're really driven by. But that's an interesting thing. Cause like, is there a time, Miranda, where like nothing is warranted then to post? Like, how do you feel about that? So instead of like, okay, so for example, the video you said where you look jacked and your inspiration was like, okay, I look jacked, I want to share this. would then the reason why, let's just say you'd regularly share a workout is because, hey, I'm trying to show that anybody with limited time can still do this. I want to share the workout. I want to let street parking members know that I'm doing the workouts. Like, I guess, how are you deciphering between what is like, it, as long as it's not like something to fulfill your self-worth, is it then worth sharing? How do you decipher between that?
Yeah. So like I put up a workout post today that was me pushing the sled and doing some dumbbell snatches. And it's not like I don't look lean in that post too, but it was to show that the workout was supposed to have step ups in it, but I did the sled instead. And to remind our members that making those kind of like changes is okay to do. And here's me like out here. And also in the middle of my sled push, Crewy, our youngest, our 2-year-old, he wanted to ride on the sled. So I stop and I put him just to remind people like, hey, like I'm in my sweats. I'm out here. I changed the workout a little bit because I wanted to be outside and I felt like pushing the sled. So there's more of like there's something for other people to get out of it. One of the things that we talk about, I don't know if you remember or if this was part of when you worked for CrossFit, something that you heard, I don't know if it was the media side or the training side, but they used to say, educate, inspire, entertain. And for me, I don't want my page to just be entertaining. I kind of flip that as the post should be either educational, inspirational is cool, but you're engaging with people. Like what I'm putting up should help other people in some way. And so at least the fitness stuff now I feel like that with. Like there should be some sort of either message or they can learn something or they can be reminded to keep it simple or there's like an example of food that might help them. But it shouldn't, for me now, the goal is never to just show off for showing off's sake.
that makes sense. And did that have to, like, while we're on the subject, you sent out a newsletter and it's periodic. I'm signed up for it. I enjoy it. And you have the More Than Nothing newsletter and it's titled Dear Instagram, It's Not You, It's Me. And you wrote like a pretty, I'd say relatively lengthy, kind of description of your relationship over time, almost as if you were breaking up with somebody or that's the way you wrote it, right?
Yeah.
How has that played in? Like, has that worked the way you wrote that? Has that played into like, has it worked well for you? Like, was that therapeutic? Like what made you write that?
So I think I was off of it after I sent that. I wrote that on an airplane. I think when I was flying to the CrossFit Health Summit in Texas, I wrote that, I think. And I was off of Instagram, off of my personal Instagram anyways, for like 3 weeks. Just completely didn't post anything. Now, obviously, like you would see, there might have been some collaborations that our team put up and then they have access to my Instagram, so they would go accept it. But I wasn't logged in and like scrolling or posting or reading comments or anything for like 3 weeks, I think. Because I just needed to take that break. And I 100% had like an addiction to all parts of it, whether it's just mindless scrolling when I'm bored or at a red light, I'll like notice myself just doing it, or feeling like I have to post something every single day, or worrying too much about the comments, feeling like I need to respond to every single DM because I don't want our members to think that I don't care about them and all of this stuff. So I took like a 3 week break, and now I feel at least, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. It was like a couple months ago, maybe.
Right.
I do have a better relationship with it, where I'll go a couple days without even opening it. On Sundays, I don't even have it on my phone, or other days, if I notice myself going back to like scrolling or whatever, I'll delete it off of my phone. So I'm just trying to, I'm trying to improve my relationship with it, because I think everybody that participates in it is addicted to it at a certain level for different reasons, but.
Yeah. Gabe just got done with a month off, right, Gabe?
Yeah, I did February and now I'm trying to stick to the 30 minute limit that you can set on screen time for certain apps. Oh man. But it's so easy to blow past it. It's like ignore for today.
Click. Well, and it's tough because now we're used to like, I care about, there's a, like, that's, I like watching all Jason's content or like seeing what people are up to. You feel like you get to check in with people without having to like phone call them. And that's probably a negative thing, you know, but you feel like you know what's going on. And you feel like it's important to know what's going on with all these people and all these things. And I think it's just something that we've gotten used to, that is not like our brains aren't designed to know this much information about this many people. I don't think it's how we're wired to care about as much stuff as what people care about. It's all surface, really.
Yeah. And I like what you said, because it's so true. I noticed that in February when I was off. It's like we've changed how we're supposed to like check in and keep tabs with the people that we're quote unquote close with. Like in February, we had like, you know, a couple friends. It was like, oh, like X had their baby. And like, I didn't know, but I didn't know because I wasn't on Instagram. And so my wife had to tell me. And you're kind of like expected now to, whereas in the past, maybe you would have, you know, picked up the phone and called your like five close friends to let them know that you had your son and that everything's healthy and everything's good. Now you just kind of put a post, you know, they like it or put a comment. And that's like the extent of the communication that's happening there. Where in the past, it would have been a phone call, maybe an in-person visit, like all these things that we know are more meaningful to create real connection. But now you can kind of check off the box by, you know, liking their picture, whether they got engaged, you know, had their kid, whatever. So that has completely changed. And it was funny because a couple of things like life events with close people happened in February. And I was like 3 days behind and getting updates from my wife because I just wasn't on Instagram.
I think you've inspired, you've definitely laid the framework with something really beautiful with street parking. And you, I love the meetup ideas. Obviously I like the one, like the big one that you did, in Aromas and others. But I got a lot of inspiration from that, and it kind of happened organically for me, where we had a men's club as part of my kid's school. And I noticed that they just wanted to get like workouts in. It seemed like the stigma at the school is that whenever the men's club got together, it was always around beer and pizza. That was like the stigma. Like everybody just assumed that like, hey, if there's a men's club meeting, we're just going to get drunk. And I wanted to change that stigma. And so I started inviting them to my house, and now it's grown into like this weekly men's club meetup. And the reason why I bring that up is because I think things like social media, they definitely have their place. And we have both used them in tremendous ways to build businesses, to connect with people. But I don't think we could speak highly enough about the in-person connection and just what that does to like free the soul and like have deep personal connection. You know, like I think what you've done with the meetups has been an incredible way to connect people who found each other through digital, you know, online.
Yeah. Well, and I guess like going back to if I had thought about during that 3 week period, or even when I was writing that email, like, and I've said many times, like if we didn't have street parking, I would not be on social media at all. Like I would be over with it. And I don't know if you ever feel this way, Jason, but like I've had times where I'm just like, nope, I'm out. I'm not going to do it anymore because I've gotten, you know, two negative comments on my post or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I always come back to is with great power comes great responsibility, I guess. And I always feel this like pull where it's like, hey, like you've been given a voice where people are listening to you, and you like you should use that for good, because you have a reach of whatever, 300,000 people. and these 35,000 members that you can put good into the world and they'll see it and then spread that. I just needed to find a balance of not feeling like I needed to sacrifice my own sanity to do that, but like find a level or a way that I can do that without sacrificing myself. So when I think about going off of it entirely, I start to feel a level of like, hey, people need they need goodness on the platform. Like if everybody who's a good person left social media, like what would be left would be scary, you know?
All right, taking a quick break from the podcast to talk to you about the Train Hard app. So if you've been listening to this podcast, you've probably heard us talk about this app. This is exactly how me and Jason train every single day. Jason tends to follow the Force and the Imam track. Imam when he's a little bit short on time, Force when he's really trying to get after it, become a capable human being so he can crush it on the mats as a dad and as a father. And I follow and write Flex, the track that's really meant to maximize strength and hypertrophy gains. And that is the program that is starting a brand new cycle April 1st. So if you haven't already, check out the Train Hard app. We have a bunch of really fun stuff coming in that 6-week cycle, leading us to a longer 12-week phase that we're going from April, May, and June. So a lot of fun. It's honestly the best time to start is now. So if you're already on the app, check out the Flex track. If you're not on the app, get on the app, get on the Flex track. April 1st, we're starting. Let's go. Let's get back to the show.
I hadn't thought about it through that lens, which actually leads me to something I wanted to ask you about. Like, from the outside, and obviously we've known each other for a really long time, but you guys have done incredible things to the business, no question. You and Julian have now 3 boys, and mm-hmm. and you guys have been together for, I want to say, is it like, how long have you guys been together?
We've been together since like November of 2015, so.
Yeah, like 9 years.
Yeah, it'll be 9 years. Yeah. So like eight, a little over 8.
Yeah. So you guys have had a pretty long relationship. You have 3 boys. You've started a business together that's thrived. And I'm curious because you and I talked about this briefly, and I don't know how much you want to get into it here, but last week, actually, I just sharing my own journey. Last week, I got inspired by a buddy of mine from Mind Pump, Sal. He invited me to go to a Christian church for a Sunday service. So I went. Nice. And yeah. I went. And the reason why I'm asking you this is that on the surface, someone would look at you and be like, dude, she's got this successful business, got all these different things going on. She's amazing. Why now do you pursue the faith side is a question I was curious about. Like, because you are, if I'm not mistaken, you are starting to like dive deeper on the faith side, right?
Yeah. So it's actually kind of like a funny story. So I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. My family was very active in the Mormon church. My parents are still very active. None of my siblings are really super active anymore, but I grew up in like a heavy Mormon culture. And Julian, the Mormon religion is known for being like one of the more like, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, hardcore rules religions. And then Julian grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, which is even more hardcore.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So until he was 14, I think when they moved up here, his family was very active in the Jehovah's Witness church. And so we both come from these kind of very rigid religious backgrounds. And I fell out of that. I was active in the Mormon church, even, you know, when Tyson and I first got together, he was as well. When I started working for CrossFit and I started traveling a bunch and just getting to know people outside of that ecosystem, I just kind of started struggling with it a little bit, struggling with some of the stuff. And so I stopped going to church. And then Julian moved to Los Angeles when he was 17 by himself. And
where did he move from?
From Tillamook, Oregon, like a super small town in Oregon, had been like in the Jehovah's Witness church, very sheltered, moved to LA when he was 17 and was pursuing acting. And so he was just in the Hollywood scene. And so obviously like he completely fell away from it. And when we got together, it was not even something that we talked about really much at all until recently. Like obviously we knew that stuff about each other's history. And sometimes I would read like little Bible stories to our kids around like Christmas or Easter or whatever, but it was never like a very deep discussion that he and I had until recently when we've had some pretty gnarly stuff going on with our family internally with, I haven't shared it and it's not really mine alone to share, but with like our marriage and like everything, because when we got together, Julian had been living in LA Hollywood since he was 17 I think I met him when he was 26. So for 9 years, he had just been in that Hollywood scene heavy. And I had just, you know, gotten a divorce and moved. And when I met him, it was when I had been hanging out with like Gustavo. And, like,
oh my God. I saw Gustavo like 2 weeks ago, by the way. Anyways, keep going.
If you guys don't know who Gustavo is, that's a whole different story for a different day. But like, we were like going out and all this stuff. And then I had moved. And so when we got together and then a year into our relationship, we had started this business and I found out I was pregnant, which was not planned. And we had just moved in together all within like a couple weeks. And everything about our relationship has been built backwards. Like we had a business, a baby, we were living together with his mom, like super early on. And so we're getting to like build a foundation of our relationship more now, because he brought a lot of that Hollywood like culture into our relationship, but like it's come out slowly and in ways that are not ideal. And I'm learning things about him now that I didn't even know until recently. And so our family has been tested and we like recognize that, yeah, on the outside, it looks like we have everything, but that's also added a pressure to this lack of foundation. And now we're trying to like salvage it basically and save it. Benny, what you doing? One of my children just walked in here.
Oh, hey, it's all good. Have them jump on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that what you're talking about, I mean, building a foundation, you know, obviously Ash and I, our background was, you know, we met when we were so young that we had a lot of time where we weren't having kids and getting married, because we had all this time when we met in high school. But I can only imagine the challenges that come from like all the speed at which you guys went through everything, right? And so now so with Jehovah's Witness and with Mormon, where are you guys ended up and how has that journey been like now? I'm curious, like how does that conversation even get started? Because it's like you guys have such backgrounds in completely different things.
Yeah, well, luckily, so one of the women who works here in our office, her name is Brittany. Her husband is a pastor at a local Christian church and he's super cool. And we had been around him a few times. Like we took our entire staff to Vegas a couple of years ago and rented out this massive house and he was there and we ended up having like late night conversations about just like deep topics. And so he's super cool and she works here. And when we started going through some of this stuff, it was very clear, like, this is too much for us to handle on our own. Like, not only do we need to go find a therapist, but it was actually Julian that was like, I think we need to like find God, because this is not, we're not going to like make it through this without it. And so, which was shocking to me that he brought that up, because it's not anything that I could have ever imagined him saying. If anything, I would have imagined it coming from me first. And so we just reached out to Gabe and he has been instrumental and like always there for us. He like would come over to our house or we'd go to his office and talk to him about what was going on. And, and then we were like, well, should we go to church? You know? And we just like went one day with our whole family and we had never been inside of a church together ever. And I hadn't been to church since, I don't even remember, maybe like 2009, 2010, maybe. And he hadn't been to church since he was like 14. And the only church he had ever been to was a Jehovah's Witness church. So.
And how long ago was that? Like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably. Yeah.
I'm curious, has there been any reception from like family? Because since both of you, you know, do come from these, you know, like very religious families that, you know, like you said, are on the stricter side of religions. Has there been any kind of like response from extended family of what's a very personal decision? Clearly is something that you guys feel called to and is ultimately going to help you, right?
Yeah, my parents, they came with us to the church. I mean, because the church that we go to is like, there's like live music and like lights and it's a big church. Yeah. And we didn't know that when we went there, but it's like one of the biggest churches in the Pacific Northwest. But there's like screens and they got like, you know, and so very different, but my parents went to it. They were super into it. They're just so glad that, we have found a relationship with God. Cause like, that's the thing. And I don't know, if you were going to ask me about, but I also ended up going to this like 2 week long, I never know what to call it. We joke around and call it trauma camp, but basically I went to this place in the middle of the woods in Kentucky in these cabins.
When was this?
This was in October with no phone, no access to, like, I couldn't even talk to Julian, where it was like, hey, we're going to like, it's for people who are like dealing with like some hard stuff in their life. So I went out there and, a lot of the people there had substance abuse issues, which I don't. And I've definitely gone through periods where I drink too much or whatever, when I like party, but I've never had like what I would call an addiction or anything like that. But a lot of the people in the program were dealing with stuff like that. So they did a lot of work around the 12 steps that you'd see in like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or whatever. And for me, it's like, you just got to find something that's bigger than you. Mm. And bigger than street parking and bigger than like my Instagram following and this and that. And so that being there was the first time I took my Bible with me, and Julian was like, you know, like, why don't we just all read the Bible while you're gone? Cause we couldn't talk to each other. And he's like, and you read it, while you're there. And so we did that. And I had no cell phone. I had no computer. I didn't talk to anyone. I could write letters and like receive letters. But yeah, that was the first where it's like, that it was really helpful for me. And then when I came back, it was like, yeah, I need something like prayer. Like, it's just, you can think of it as prayer. You can think of it as a form of meditation or whatever helps the individual. But for me, you know, it's prayer to God or whatever. And reading the Bible has been very good for us, and we're still doing it and we're still going to church. But I think too many people are just the center of their own universe.
I had no idea. I did not. Yeah, go ahead, Gabe.
So Miranda, was that, it was a silent retreat? Like,
it was definitely not silent. So Peter Attia has been there twice. It's called The Bridge to Recovery. And basically I had a meltdown one day, and Kariana and Bill Anthes, who are from Between the Ears, friends of ours who, you know, they've worked for CrossFit headquarters also. Jason, you kind of witnessed like the very beginning of it when, I mean, you saw
At Aromas?
Yeah. People are like, you know, so at in Aromas, you witnessed like I was having like a meltdown, and that was like the beginning of it. And so I was struggling, and our family was not doing well. And we felt all this pressure to like keep the ball rolling, because like, if we're just like, F it, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, we have 20 employees, like those people, you know, and we have these members and this like response and these children, like we can't just like throw up our hands and be like, we're going to go move to a cabin in the woods, you know, screw it. I mean, we could, but we didn't feel that it was an option at that time. So we were trying to keep everything going while we were dealing with all this stuff, which I know, you know, everything about that, you know, where you're going home and you have, whether it was when Ava was sick or, you know, more recent stuff, that doesn't go away, and you're at work, you know, you're trying to balance it. So yeah, Kariana and Bill had found this place, and they said, you know, I think it would be really good for you to just take yourself out of the environment for a couple of weeks. And we went there. So no, it wasn't silent. We did like group every day.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen the movie 28 Days, where Sandra Bullock goes to rehab because she's an alcoholic, like that. But it wasn't for that, but it was very similar, where we like sit in a circle in a group and we talk about our childhood and we like share all this stuff. And that's what it was, basically.
But it's so funny you brought that up. I literally stumbled on that movie the other day. It's such a great movie. It's so funny.
Was it helpful? I mean, did you finish the 2 weeks?
Absolutely.
Because you said something, I just want to make sure I'm really, I don't know if you use the word believing or feeling something greater than yourself. Did you say believing in something greater than yourself?
Yeah, I think you just need to have a belief in something bigger than yourself, and not put yourself as the center of the universe, as the most important thing in the world. And that's not really how our society looks at, like, everybody's so selfish, everyone. And I'm not like pointing fingers, because we all are. And there's so many, it's set up for us to be now.
Yeah, no, that's really, it's really interesting. You know, obviously, Ava right now is in a 24/7 care facility, and it actually has a lot of similarities to what you're referring to with the group that you're going, that the 2 weeks that you went. And so, anyways, we can talk more about that offline, but that's really interesting. I'm really happy that that made an impact on you. And I'm glad that you found something that is greater than you, you know, and I think that that could be so many different things, whether that's believing in the impact you can make through street parking, or even, but adding layers to it, like you're talking about. It's something I've been diving into as of recently, and we've been sharing it on this podcast a little bit with different people's stories about these things. And I think that just because you grew up one way, or just because you thought something a year ago, doesn't mean that you can't change the way you feel. And if it's calling to you, you should explore it. That's kind of where I'm at with it. And because that's
It's so funny though, because that's another one of those things where you're like, oh, like if I post about it, because there are definitely people who are very anti the Bible or Jesus or church or whatever. And it almost to the extent where if they see that you have any sort of association or if you're into that at all, they'd like, all of a sudden what I have to say about nutrition and fitness is out the window because I went to church on Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, well, I can't listen to her anymore because she got baptized or whatever. It's so it's like another one of those things, like the house thing where you're like, oh, I'm like all scared to share about it. And I thought about this in a very interesting way the other day. And I told Julian, cause we've been talking about like, I mean, he posted a post with a scripture, which anyone that knew him in LA, if they saw that, they would be like, who is this person? Like, this is
what happened to the Julian we knew? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had talked about it and I said, you know, what's funny is in fitness and nutrition, for 20 years, I've been saying stuff that people don't want to hear, but I know it to be true and I know it to be helpful. And I've never had a problem saying like, hey, probably don't eat so much sugar, or you need to move, or being overweight is unhealthy or whatever. And all those things have a tendency to offend people or make them mad, or, you know, even the post about my kids eating mango. And it's like, why am I okay offending people in that way, but not this new thing that has really helped me and given me something to heal the stuff that's going on. So I thought of it, I found that interesting that I'm comfortable offending people about fitness and nutrition, but not this new stuff. Maybe it's just because it's new or whatever, but
it's just new. Yeah. I had a question. How have you balanced, and you know, maybe this is a tough question to answer, but how have you balanced, like, I think one of the things that makes street parking so special, and I was listening to a couple of your podcasts leading up to this, is the relatability of the stories that you guys tell of the members, right? And how in the beginning, you know, it was you and Julian who were doing all these workouts, but maybe aren't so relatable, but telling the stories of all these other people that look like everyone else and whatever, like that's very relatable. How have you balanced, like, because I think that, you know, going through hard shit is the most relatable thing out there. So how have you balanced, like, sharing this to, or any of this to benefit people and for people to know that, like, hey, no one has it all figured out. Like, we're all dealing with something, versus the fact that, like, you don't owe it to anybody to share stuff that's personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question, Gabe.
Well, I think, again, I think Jason and I are similar in this way, and me sharing that we're going through a hard time, honestly, if I'm brutally honest about it, is more because I feel incapable of hiding it without being completely fake. And so I would either have to not come on podcasts like this or post or do anything, or I would have to just play a completely false character, which I'm not gonna do. So I was like, well, I have to share that something's going on, but I don't need to share what exactly it is, because I've also seen people, you know, we have a large Facebook group where it's just too much. It's like, it's too personal. And then again, it's like, why are you posting that? Well, I could post exactly what's going on. And Jason, I'm sure you felt this too. You could post more about Ava and stuff like that, and the comments would be full of people who are just supportive of you and showing you love and everything. But it's like, at a certain point, I need to protect my family and the story that we have going on in our family. It's not just my story, it's my children. Like, they don't need our business put out in the world. Like, they're too young to give permission for that. So I can say like, hey, we're struggling, we're going through a hard time, so that I don't have to be fake, but protective of my husband and our children and all of that in a way that still keeps our family stuff, our family stuff, if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And I thought you answered that perfectly. I feel the exact, same way, by the way. I mean, it's difficult, right? But I think you summarized it really well, especially because you don't want to come off fake. And something else that I don't want is like, I want to be able to let people know that, you know, these people that you see online or that have built businesses or whatnot, like everybody's going through things. And if you're going through something, like, so are we, like everybody's got things going on. But I think where I struggle is like, if you share what those things are, one, it's obviously a privacy thing, but the other is like, I don't want people to think that I'm sharing these things to like capture attention. That's not my goal. Mm-hmm. My goal is not to get attention from you. My goal is to help people. Like, and if I'm going through something, chances are someone else is going through something very similar. And if I'm learning, like even for you, for example, if you talk about relationships and whatnot, and if you found that faith is really contributing to like your success, like that's why you would want to share. You're not sharing it because you're trying to get attention or people to feel sorry for you or whatever. You're sharing because you think that, hey, this is something that's going on in my life and I want to be able to help you guys out. Or at least that's why I look at it.
Yeah. And I know like, and that doesn't, going back to, we don't treat friendships and stuff the same way that we used to. You can help people and it doesn't have to be in the form of a post. Like, so I know what's going on in your life because I was like talking to you about something else. And you were like, hey, like, let me share some perspective about what I have going on. I had no idea, but it was shared. The details of it were shared in a one-on-one conversation. Like, I didn't find out about it through social media, but it did really, really help me like shift my thinking that day. And I don't think we do enough of that with our friends and people that we should be like. And also, there's a pretty good group of people who know exactly, including everyone in this office, who know exactly what's going on with Julian and I, so that they can support us and so that we can reach out and be like, hey, we're not going to make it to the meeting today, or hey, this is happening, or whatever. And I think that's appropriate. But like, I had a member who we were supposed to go to a meetup and we didn't go because it was in the middle of when all of this was happening, who made a whole Instagram story series of posts about how upset she was that I wasn't as involved the past few months on social media and I didn't go to this meetup, and was tagging me. And I DM'd her and I was like, hey, like, I'm a real person. We got some like family stuff going on. Like, I promise, like, please stop. And she said, well, you shouldn't hide. Like, if I were you, I wouldn't isolate myself. And I'm like, I'm not isolating myself. There's a solid group of like 30 people who know what's going on. You're not one of them because I don't know you, like, right. You know, and so she was like, you should share, you shouldn't keep everything inside. And it was just great. But what people think that they have the right to know is crazy these days.
Well, man, go ahead, Gabe. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, and you like, it's a blessing and a curse in that you like set the expectation with how generous you are with your community. Thanks, that's cool. and like exactly, you know, cause I, you know, I know Jason obviously a lot better than I know you, Miranda. I know you kind of as an outsider, like a lot of people do. But you know, when you constantly want to give and help and do all these things, like you're doing all the things that almost sets this expectation of like, well, where are you now? Which could be very, very tough because, you know, like you said, we all go through these seasons that are, you know, easier and tougher than others to be that person that's out there putting out stuff and like being inspirational and being all these things.
Well, I think it's just like to remind people too, because again, like kind of going back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of this episode, I think her assumption and maybe many people's assumption is, oh, they don't care about us anymore. They're successful. They've like put in their time. So they just didn't feel like showing up to the meetup and they just didn't feel like part, you know, like they stopped paying attention to us on social media because they've, you know, they've made their money and now they're like, they don't care as much as they used to. And it was like an automatic assumption when we weren't there for a little bit that it was because we didn't care anymore or because we were getting lazy about it or whatever, instead of thinking like, oh, that's a shift. Like, I wonder, I hope they're okay. And there was a lot of people that reached out that was like, hey, we haven't seen you guys. I hope everything's okay. And of course, that's just an example of one person who automatically jumped to the negative.
I have to ask on that 2-week retreat.
You want to go there, was Jason?
I just have to ask. Yeah, maybe we'll go there sometime. I have to ask, like, from a macro level, like, what was like one major, aside from like being alone in your thoughts, being able to take time and detach from all these different things, what was like something that you think, like, I don't know, I could take away from it? Like, what's something that you did, maybe it was journaling, maybe it was whatever, that you think was really helpful that maybe could help other people, including myself, selfishly?
Oh man, one thing. Okay, I'll tell you something crazy that we did.
Tell me something crazy. Come on.
Which was, because we also got to watch each other do it. So it was a group of, I think, 9 of us. And I still talk to these people every day. Okay. Like we have a Zoom call on Wednesday nights where we like check in with each other. And none of us have anything in common. Like, well, that's not true. We're all like maybe people who are perfectionists. There were some, definitely some crossover lines. But we did this exercise called the empty chair. Oh, I would love to see you do this, but it would be dangerous for you to do it. But like, okay, so what we did is they put this empty chair in front of you and you prep for it and you get to imagine a person in the chair. So some people would do like their dad or their like stepdad or their mom or their grandma, whatever, who had hurt you. And you get to say anything that you want to that person. And you just like let them have it, like, which would not be advised in real. And some of the people were talking to people who had passed away. So they couldn't like to advocate for yourself, because it was like, if something happened to you when you were a child and you were 7 years old and you couldn't stand up for yourself, you get to now as an adult, bring that person in and say everything that you have to say to get it out of you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was nuts. And then afterwards, so people are like crying. I was like, it was like a full on like Leonardo DiCaprio like movie that I played out.
And this was like a figurative, this was a chair that at the time it was completely empty, but other people were around you, but there was no one sitting in the chair. The chair was empty.
But it feels so real because they do this whole thing where they like bring the person in. Like they open the door and like act like they're walking. They ask you how close do you want the chair to you versus far away versus like, do you need one chair, two chairs? Is it one person, two people? Like what's going on here? They talk to the person as though they're there. I'm not supposed to share too much about what they do there, but anyway, empty chair is not, it's listed on their website. So people know what it is. And then afterwards you get to beat the shit out of this like big padded cube with a plastic bat. And, okay. So another thing that was cool, here's something that was really cool for me, Jason, that I think would be really good for you. So when I went in there, none of us had access to our cell phones, none of us. So these people knew nothing about me, the people in my group, and they couldn't go to their phone at night and Google search me. So the only things that they knew about me was what I told them. And so I didn't tell them, I had to for some of the work to explain like my situation. I did have to tell them like, I have a pretty big social media following. I have a successful business. Like I told them that kind of stuff so that they could get like the context of what's going on. But another thing that I did was I was completely like in sweats the whole time, like no tank top, no like even like short sleeves, no leggings, nothing. And then when I did the empty chair thing, it was toward the end of the thing. And I was like, can I take my sweatshirt off for this? And I had a tank top on underneath. And they were like, oh my gosh, like because they had not seen, but it was cool because they got to know just me. Like they didn't automatically make assumptions based on my body. They couldn't look at my social media and think that they knew everything about me based off of my posts. They don't know Julian, so they can't get an idea of my, like it was just Miranda. And what you see is what you get, and this is who she is. And so that was really, really cool.
Man. And the bat. And you get the shit out of something with the bat.
That was toward the end, and they said it was terrifying and that they were not expecting that.
That's such an interesting change that's happened to like how we meet people in general, right? Like we have so much information about people when we meet them for the first time. I feel like in most cases, you know, with a podcast, like I've spent the past 2 days listening to a few different podcasts you've been on and kind of going through your social media, cause I wanted to get a good idea of this conversation. But I feel like the fact that you can go Google someone after you meet them, right, and get all this information is so different than how we were used to meeting people and establishing relationships. Like we're not equipped for all this information. It's cool that you got to experience that. I'm just thinking about all the ways that we don't experience that now in our day to day.
Well, it's even like Julian and I were talking yesterday. He's like, you just need a group of friends that don't know anything about you at all. And I was like, well, yeah, but the problem is as soon as you, like, let's say I get, even like I have a women's group at our church that I've been going to, But they all, as soon as I say like, oh yeah, we have an online fitness business, they all go look it up. And then now what they see on there, not in a way that they're doing it even on purpose, but it's like all of a sudden, like they attach a certain personality that they associate with that to me, you know what I mean? So we don't really have the option to share, people like you and I, Jason, we don't really have the option to share only what we're trying to be in that moment. Like, cause they can just go find everything.
I think that's interesting just for anybody, right? I mean, it definitely goes for people like us, but it goes for like the amount of information, like how you have preconceived notions about people, cause you can look it up. And like the empty chair concept is really interesting, because if you're young and something happens to you and you feel like you're defenseless and that stays with you, I just think it's, I don't know. I appreciate the fact that was therapeutic for you. And I'm glad that worked out well. I mean, those are some of the things that I'm thinking about a lot right now with, especially with Ava and her background with leukemia. And there's some stuff it's getting me thinking, right? What types of things can we bring to the forefront that will help alleviate any potential stress in the future, you know? So I think stuff like that could be huge.
Well, and you know what, like it's going back to the like religious, like prayer experience I had in this new church. They'll encourage you to like, it's okay if you, when you're and people are going to have opposition to this. So I'm just sharing. Okay. It's okay when you're praying to like be angry. And that would have never been allowed. Like you could not, like, it was like a very specific tone that you prayed about, you know, in when I was growing up. And so like after the angry chair thing, like I'll be driving in my car and I'll be like praying and be like, how am I expected to da 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 da? And I'm just like, but I think actually speaking things out loud when you're by yourself, as though whether it's you're talking to a person or you're like praying or whatever, I think it's different than even like writing, journaling, like saying stuff out loud with emotion, but not necessarily to the person, because that it can come out in ways that you can't take back. But yeah, I don't know. It's been pretty cool. And I think it's important to do.
Yeah, like therapeutic, you know, yeah. Gabe. So she's the second person now. So Sal from Mind Pump said the exact same thing. He says that he wakes up in the morning and his like his time that he's doing meditation, he's actually praying. And his whole thing is like pray out loud. Like yeah, he texted me that yesterday. He's like, it, just out of blue. He's like, pray out loud. I'm like, okay.
We do it in the sauna, like out loud in the sauna talking. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. And you know, this podcast always, it's evolved, right? It was like for a while, it was just about like business of fitness. And it's like AMRAP, want to talk about performance. Now, like I want to talk about being a husband, being a father, trying to level up and all the different things that are going on in our lives. And like these type of conversations, like it's real shit that's happening with all of us. And like, what little takeaways can we have to try and get to the next phase, you know, is what we're thinking about. At least Gabe and I, that's what we're dedicated to.
But it impacts it, right? Because like this stuff that we've been going through, one of the things I told Julian a while ago is like, hey, we can't, you know, we don't have time for family drama. Like we have so much stuff that we're trying to do that's important. Like we don't have time for this. And this was before everything kind of like happened. But he agreed with me the other day. He's like, this has taken us out of our ability to just like function regular day to day for running our business and homeschooling our kids and all this stuff. Like, if people can develop some habits that are healthy or like find some outlets that are healthy before it becomes a huge problem, then it will apply to them being successful in their business and all that stuff, because they won't have to like completely go to a freaking 2-week retreat. They can like deal with it better as it's unfolding, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Gabe, do we have enough time to ask about the homeschool thing? We gotta be.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It depends how much time Miranda has.
But
I'm good, because I'm just like watching our team meeting going on and I don't have to do anything till they're done.
Well, I got to ask, we've had a few people on now. Obviously, Matt Boudreaux has been a huge advocate for and now you're opening up. Are you opening up an Acton Academy?
We have an official Acton Academy, like almost like affiliate, kind of like a CrossFit affiliate. But we're keeping it super small. Like it's a group of like three families right now. And we wanted to make it bigger until I realized
how much work it was.
Yeah, how much work it's going to be. And like, think about how you own a gym. So the kids are one thing. It's the parents of the kids that it's a lot of emotional, like everybody has a different idea of what they think their kid needs and what they want their kid to be learning and all of that stuff. And straight up honesty. Like, I know what I want for my children, and I don't want to change that to make a bunch of other people happy for what they want for their kids. And so we've kept it really small. I don't know how big we'll ever actually end up making it.
That's really interesting perspective. Just to lay some groundwork, Acton Academy, they're going to be opening up 50 more this year, I believe, across the country. Matt Boudreau and Tim Kennedy actually has one in Texas. I saw that Miranda and Julian had, you know, created a license or model with them. But
Matt and Tim's is different now, isn't it? Isn't there's the Apogee stuff?
So you're with Acton, they're with Apogee.
You were with Acton, but yeah, I'm still like talk to Matt all the time, and I've been going through his like Apogee stuff too, because he was the one who initially introduced me to Acton. So,
but you said something to me that I just wanted to kind of highlight, and then I'm curious what Gabe has to ask on this. Is like, I was talking to you the other day, I was like, hey, how's everything going? Or I was asking something about homeschooling. You're like, dude, it's hard when like you're really good at something, right? You've created this successful business. You've been a phenomenal coach and trainer for 20 plus years. And then all of a sudden you're being asked to homeschool, which is essentially a teacher role. And it's hard. Like, that's what you mentioned. You're like, dude, it's hard to be like crappy at something. How's that journey been? Cause are you actually homeschooling the kids now along with these other families, or are you playing what role?
So I homeschool. Really the only one of our children that needs like school is our 6-year-old. Cause the other one is we've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they just need to play, and they just need to, you know, so I don't have to do a lot of like teaching with them, but since all of this, the shift has been happening and me figuring out, you know, us figuring out what's best for our family, because similar to what we were talking about with the posts, our business has always been, I've taken a most of the load of like the day-to-day, like the tedious tasks, the like meetings and all of that stuff. And, when all of this stuff was happening, there were definitely days where both of us were like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it's way too much pressure. It's way too much stress. But then we're like, listen, like we have a platform and these people, and we're helping people, we're changing lives and we're saving lives. And like, this is important work. It's not like we like are selling like cosmetics or something like that, you know? So, but we made a shift in what's our goals for the business. And for us, where it is right now, we started asking ourselves, like, why do we feel this constant need to make it bigger? Mm. Like, we're super happy with our financial situation. We're paying our staff that's here really well. Like, what is this drive or this like push that everybody feels constantly, like, well, if it's not growing, if it's not going to get bigger, 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 then it's not successful. Like, it's got to keep going, or even keeping it the same somehow feels like a failure. And I'm sure you deal with that even more than I do, because that's just who you are, like that competitive nature and that drive to keep going and improving. So we asked, like, what's our goal here? And our goal is to have a good life for our family. And so I've stepped back from the day-to-day of the business. I'm still doing most of the programming, and I'm in charge of like the messaging. So I'll come in and still do podcasts or our team meetings or like helping write newsletters and that kind of thing. But the day-to-day stuff, I've stepped out of a lot, and our staff has taken over a lot of that stuff. And Julian has stepped in and been doing more of that so that I can be with our kids more. So it's more than even just the homeschool stuff. It's just for me to be there. I don't even think of it as primary caretaker. I want to be the main influence in my own children's lives. Like, we have nannies still that help. Julian's mom still helps. She was their primary caregiver before. And it's not that she was doing anything wrong, but like we have the financial situation and the ability, because we own our own business. I can go be the main influence in my children's lives. Like, I have that option. Why wouldn't I take it? But it is really hard, because I now can see I was getting a lot of self-esteem from being really good at what I do in street parking, and from feeling like that, like, creativity, and we're having the meetings and this is going to be awesome and da, 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 versus like I'm at home and I'm just like making food that my kids refuse to eat and tell me I don't like it, or, you know, trying to come up with some fun activity that they hate and they're just like throwing stuff at each other or hitting each other, or they don't want to do it, or this is boring, you know. I want to go hang out with Tia, which is what they call Julian's mom or whatever, and it's rough. It's like, these kids don't even want me to be here. Or like, why am I doing this? I could go do something that I'm so passionate about and feel really confident in and good at, or I'm just here. And it's been a tough shift for sure.
So the tougher part has been, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, correct me if I'm wrong, has been more the stepping back and like changing roles than actually like homeschooling and teaching. Like homeschooling and teaching itself is, at least at this point, not a lot of hours, not a lot of work. It's been more just this kind of like change in priorities and stepping back from the business.
Yeah, because our kids have never been to regular school. So it's not like they're having to go through some huge struggle and change, which I know a lot of people, because homeschooling has become such a more popular thing, that people are like, well, my kids used to be in school one day, you know, all day, and they're used to learning a certain way, and I'm having to like retrain them or get them to come out of that while I'm also like changing. You know, Jason and I have had conversations about like, you guys live in the freaking Silicon Valley, where this idea of what education is so, it's so different than anywhere else. Like if your kid isn't putting in like letters to Stanford when they're in freaking preschool, it's like, oh, you're behind, you know? And it's the culture there, and it's crazy. Well, I don't really have that. I told my parents last night, they were like, how's homeschool? And I'm like, well, honestly, I was like, he knows how to read. And like, what else is there? You can learn anything. He knows how to read. He's curious. And he doesn't watch TV all day. Like they're playing outside. Like if he knows how to read and knows how to do a Google search, he can learn anything at any point that he wants to learn, you know? And that's the reality of like life now.
Yeah. Things have definitely changed and evolved. And like, it's something that's, I think, you know, we have a lot of people on the show who encourage homeschool. Obviously our kids still go to a private Catholic school. I think there's been it's like almost like a hybrid approach. I think it's worked for us because it's something we were comfortable with. Yeah. I think if I knew what I know today, I don't know. I don't want to speak for Ashley but if I knew, we're very happy with everything that's occurred. But if I knew the information I had today, and if the resources were available that are today that they were when, you know, because my kids are going to be in eighth and fifth grade, so they're a little bit older, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been different, but we kind of chose a path, and now they're getting ready. You know, Ava's getting ready for, you know, soon to be high school. And, but man, I appreciate what you're saying about, because a lot of people think, you know, they'd say, oh, your wife works, you know, as a stay at home, or this is like years ago too. But dude, she's got a really hard job because she is trying to be the primary person, like you said, who is influencing so much, you know? And I think that I commend you for kind of prioritizing that. I don't think you'll ever regret that. I don't think that I will ever regret trying to prioritize the kids and trying to prioritize time with them versus trying to make an extra X amount of dollars. Now, that's just my perspective on it. But I think that, you know, each person needs to reflect on that particular time and where you want to spend and what 10 years from now you might look back on and be like, dude, I should have spent more time over here, you know?
Yeah. And I would say that where you live, there's probably better options for, like you're saying, like a hybrid or private schools or things like that. I mean, we live, not that there's not options here, but I'm sure there's way more where you live for that kind of stuff.
Miranda, the newsletter you wrote about stepping back was really good, really well written. I think you did such a good job of kind of telling the story of how difficult of a decision that was. I know we're kind of running out of time, so I just want to make sure, where can people subscribe to that and maybe go back and read some of the other ones if they haven't been subscribed so far? Because we've mentioned your newsletter a couple of times on the podcast.
Yeah, there's a link to subscribe to it in my Instagram bio. You know how there's like the little link tree thing, so they can go subscribe to it. And I haven't resent out all of the initial ones, but I guess I could do that. I need to put those somewhere. Maybe I need to put those in the little link tree too. Cause at first I was like resending the first ones when I would send out a new one to people who hadn't gotten them yet. So I guess I need to do that again.
I'll send you a link to our blog, Miranda, cause what we do on the newsletter is we put out a weekly newsletter and then we host it on a blog. So if people would join, let's just say, cause I think the episode, it's More Than Nothing. Number 8 is the one that we're talking about, which I thought was great. I always enjoy reading yours. But we just created a blog and we just upload it there. That's the way
that's a good call. Yeah.
Well, Miranda, I really appreciate you. We look to what you've done as a really big inspiration. And I think it's just like this next chapter with what you're doing with the faith, with the house, with the kids, with Julian. Like, it's just fun. It's fun to connect and talk about, right? And it's fun to talk about these journeys because they're not linear. They're not always like this. And there's going to be ups and downs. And I think like we're just kind of learning as we go. And so I appreciate you sharing your story with us because I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people, including myself, especially your empty chair concept.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it might seem cheesy to say this to you, on the show, Jason, but like, I still say when people talk about our team back in the day that the reason that we were so successful outside of the fitness level of the individuals was like, I tell people like we genuinely all cared about each other so much. And I still see you as like one of my dear friends and that I enjoy like hearing from you all the time. And I hope that that, I mean, sometimes I'm like, you know, we should go on a trip with freaking Jason and Ashley and their kids or some, you know, go somewhere bougie that Ashley wants to go to.
Hey, you know, get her a little margarita. Let's go do it. No.
Yeah. Maybe like the coolest thing about street parking is that I can afford to go on trips with Jason now.
It's a fantastic note to end it on. I love that. Oh, man.
Well, Miranda, I appreciate you. And Gabe, any kind of last remarks?
No. Just Miranda, if you want to let everyone know, I mean, it seems like Instagram is like the one place where they can find everything, but just where people can find more information about you, street parking, anywhere you want to. And then we'll link all that in the show notes.
Yeah, you can go to streetparking.com. That's our website. And we obviously have the street parking Instagram. And then my personal Instagram is Fearless Miranda.
All right. Well, thank you all.